For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome to episode number 186 of MSRcast, your metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek.
And I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
We just finished listening to Typo Negative. Mm-hmm. Haven't listened to them in a while on this show, at least, for sure. And that's going to sort of go into our topic of this very episode. Yeah. It's something that you brought up. You're like, hey, I just did this whole retrospective on themetalpigeon.com about Sentenced and their music and how you wanted to kill yourself.
Yeah, I'd been listening to a lot of Sentenced in the past few months, and it caused me to remember this feature that I had let fall by the wayside, where I recommend a band to my readers using 10 songs, that I think are like the best entry points to that band.
Sure.
So I did it. I wrote about it. I listened to a ton of Sentenced. And yesterday was the first day of fall, officially, even though it was 92 degrees in Houston. And I don't know.
Isn't it always 92 degrees here?
Well, it seems like it. But
doesn't make for great depressive music listening, does
no,
it?
No, but fall I always associate with that sound or that I don't, and Sentenced to me is one of those bands that almost encapsulates it the best for me personally. And it's this sound that we were discussing before we started recording. We're having trouble kind of identifying or describing. When you see it written about in magazines, people say goth metal, but I hate that term because it doesn't describe anything about the sound. It's just more like this depressive kind of gray-toned sort of rock that's still melodic and it's metallic. I mean, it's bands like Sentenced and Amorphous and newer bands like Draconian and Woods of Youprey.
They all
sort of have the same thread running through them. That is very like inward looking and
it has this
solitary.
And they all have, they all have this melodic, sort of depressive.
Depressive is the key word.
Guitar work and just everything about it. It's not, I'm going to go and kill myself, but it's very solemn and very,
it's clear. It's lucid. Like the guitar lines are clear. It's very melodic, and it's not like they don't use heaviness to sort of emphasize their
sure.
emotion. They're using minor key melodies, but also with a little bit of major key stuff accented here and there.
The term that I've always used is depressive death doom.
Yeah, I mean, I always hear the
and
doom
right sort of yeah. It's very a lot of it is definitely influenced by
it's touched by doom. I feel like
Yeah, it's. It's definitely tinged of death metal, of melodic death metal.
Yeah.
Especially some of the newer bands like Insomnium and Swallow the Sun, things like that.
Yeah.
But there's always that doom influences where it's a little slower and a little bit more melodic, and they can use the guitar as not just a heavy, heavy riff monster, but
almost a lyrical instrument.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree on that.
And like, speaking of the lyrics, they're always very, introspective, somber, and
we just need to go to Google and look up depressive and look at all the synonyms, or
yeah.
And that's what we're gonna
but see. I love this style of music. I know
yeah,
you
me
do
too.
Too.
I do too.
And I can't really. I've never really been able to identify why.
It's hard to pinpoint.
It just sort of. It's something that I've been drawn to ever since I've been into metal. It's also. And I might get laughed at for this, but like I love the band Him, who's not a metal band, who are just a pure rock band.
They're a little metal.
They have metallic moments, but I mean they have that same sort of thing. And you know what? We're just listening to Catatonia, or no, we were listening to Swallow the Sun, old Swallow the Sun track, and I heard the piano in the background. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I think I've realized just in the past 10 minutes is that all these bands that we're talking about who are in this sort of weird thread of sound, they all use the keyboards with the idea of making them a piano instrument instead of just like a keyboard atmosphere,
like a heavy
instrument.
Like a heavy synth type of thing,
like a heavy synth or like power metal where it's like a cheery synth,
hey, I like cheery synths too.
You know, like they're not afraid of having tinkling piano keys in the background to be like an accent to what the guitar is doing.
Which was a lot of it was started with the band that we opened up with,
yeah.
Typo Negative.
Yeah. I mean, I was honestly trying to think of like who before Typo Negative in heavy music was doing this kind of stuff, and I'm having trouble even coming up with anything.
I mean, this band's around the same era, like Tiamat, maybe.
Yeah, and that's weird because Typo Negative, I mean, they started in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have bands around that same era, like Sentenced, were transitioning out of death metal and moving into what they would be known for, that kind of classic sound we're talking about in the mid 90s, you know, with like Frozen and stuff like that, and Crimson, like in the, you know, late 90s. So it's this sound that kind of comes from not just one place. These days, it seems to come a lot from Finland, and that, I guess that's understandable because that's a very, from what everything I've read, a very depressive country. And it's not a geographic sound. It's just sort of like a universal sound. Like if you're feeling like, what would metal sound like if you were writing it from a very inward,
introspective
looking point of view.
So let's talk about the first band, Typo Negative. I've always been a huge fan of these guys, and the song that I picked out was Red Water Christmas Morning from October Rust from 1996. This song, I think, is the epitome of what we're talking about, how it's heavy, it's slow, it has depressive overtones. This song gets me in the field, as they say,
yeah,
as the young kids say, because this song is about spending the holidays when all your family is dead. And this song came out, not to give away too much of my personal life or anything, but right after my mom passed away.
Yeah.
So this song was very deep and very meaningful for me. I mean, the lyrics are basically him talking about all his family is dead and he's just going to drink wine to forget about it. Red water is wine.
Right.
Christmas morning, MOURING.
Yeah.
So
people always think of Typo Negative, I think, too much as like a band like tongue in cheek.
They do have a lot of that.
They had serious times, sides to them as well.
Just, and it even makes it sadder now that Peter Steele is no longer with us.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, when you think about his voice, you were mentioning before we started recording Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear Dave Gahan's voice
mm-hmm.
reflected in Peter Steele quite a bit. I mean, there's almost like that same timbre to their delivery, you know?
A little bit. We talked to, I mentioned Depeche Mode because a lot of the band that we're going to talk about, maybe not all of their career, but some of their career was definitely influenced by that 80s, you know, dark wave synth stuff. Definitely Depeche Mode, you know? Or a lot of people call them Depressed Mode.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, I bet we can go back and read Peter Steele interviews where he'd, like, even mention them. I mean, I can't confirm that right now.
Sure.
But, like, you know, you imagine you're a kid growing up in the 80s and you're listening to Metallica and Maiden and stuff like that.
Well,
and
then, you got to think the first early, you know, Carnivore stuff was late 80s, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that was when those bands were in the mainstream, too. Like
as they're talking about drinking and depressive stuff, I am drinking some
chocolate whiskey
right now. How depressive does that sound? But it's delicious, though.
Yeah. You don't look depressed right now.
I do not. I don't feel depressed right now either.
I'm thinking of like, where does the sound originate from? Well, okay, if you know, you're a metalhead who listens to Maiden, Metallica, all this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then you're also exposed by a friend of yours to like the Depeche Mode and the Cure and Susie and the Banshees and all these weird bands. They're like dark, but they're not metal. But you still are drawn to it because it's dark. And then when you want to create your own music,
Joy Division and all that stuff, yeah,
you're going to put the two together, and that's the sound of like Typo Negative and stuff, you know.
And Typo Negative influenced a lot of the bands coming out. Definitely Sweden, definitely Finland.
Yeah,
it's, you know, like when, like you said, Sentence changed their sound from being typical old school brutal death metal.
Yeah,
the first band that I think of describing their sound would have been Typo Negative.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with Sentence is those guys are such ornery bastards in interviews. I did a lot of research for that thing I put up, and I was trying to track down old interviews where they were talking about their influences. They refuse to talk about them. They'll mention Maiden and stuff like that, but that's really about as deep as they're going to get.
I saw sentenced one time, and I know I've told the story before.
Yeah.
Only got to see him for like 15 minutes before the power got turned off.
Yeah.
That was a depressive moment.
Yeah.
It sucked. They're great for when they played, but, you know. So we talked about Type O Negative. We talked about Sentenced. Let's go ahead and get into a Sentenced song. This is the most, I think, their most definitive, most popular song. It's gotten over 1 million hits, views, or listens, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
On even just on Spotify alone.
Yeah.
That's saying something right there.
Well, you know, I mentioned the piano earlier. Like, this song, like, Killing Me, Killing You, opens with the piano line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, this really gorgeous melody played on piano before, and it goes for, like, about a half a minute before any heavy guitars kick in. And metal fans, that should normally be a thing where you're kind of like, the piano? They made the piano work, and they made it work for them. The piano is all throughout this song, and it becomes, like, a feature of this band in like later albums like Crimson and the Cold White Light and the Funeral album, where it's just one of the.
I gotta say, I had heard you know Sentenced before, but when I got sent the promo for the Cold White Light,
yeah,
I remember the exact moment I popped it in my car. I was driving to actually see my then girlfriend, current wife, at her house. She lived about almost an hour away.
Yeah.
So I popped this into the car when I was driving over there and just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. And it was like Cross My Heart and Hope to Die is the first song on the album. That song just hits you like right in the face with those booming drums and that mournful melody. The Vile Wahali, he was just one of the greatest singers in that style. He had a really strong Finnish accent. Imagine Peter Steele like from Finland. But when he hit like those perfect melodic notes, he did this sound better than anybody. We should stop talking.
Let's get into Sentenced, the Killing Me, Killing You from.
This is from Crimson, 2000.
Okay. All right, let's get into it.
Baby, have you seen there is a snake in a paradise? A serpent that's wriggling between us and our feelings to eyes. One way this drop of blood we bleed because of this. Something so precious dies and it feels it really is. Killing me, killing you, killing all we have. As I love. We're burning near
You were just listening to Daylight Dies, A Portrait in White. So, what do you have to say for yourself about this?
What do I have to say for myself? They are one of my favorite death doom bands from America.
I'm not as familiar with them, but it definitely has the same spirit of what we're talking about.
They're very underrated. Not a lot of people know about these guys. Yeah. I saw them at a metal fest a long time ago. One of the Milwaukee Metal Fest, maybe? I can't remember quite what it was. But, yeah, really great guys. Really love that band. They put an album out maybe last album was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is from the album that came out in 2008 on Candlelight Records called Lost to the Living.
Where are these guys from?
Like North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's cool that we're jumping from, like, I guess who we would consider two of the founders of this kind of style, or the earliest bands we can think of doing this, Typo and Sentence, and go to like a relatively newer band.
Yeah.
This is like an enduring style. And
Candlelight Records did a lot of this style of music. Another label I can think of off the top of my head is Peaceville Records.
Yeah.
The peaceful stuff, like,
especially with Catatonia.
Catatonia and Anathema, right. and all that stuff, man.
Yeah. Anathema, like, their last Peaceville thing was like a Fine Day to Exit, right? Because they went on K-Scope after,
yeah,
when they came
so.
Back. They were gone for a years.
Fine Day to Exit is one of my favorite albums of all time.
I like that album. Love that album. I know it got kind of scoffed at when it came out, but I really liked it.
It's a great album.
I do admit to liking modern Anathema a lot more than their older stuff, but... you know, I think that they're still in the same spirit. Just the Anathema now is more just straight up prog rock than anything.
Yeah, and well, they've been that way for a long time.
But they're very. But I mean, Anathema is kind of the not to turn their name into a pun, but they are exactly the Anathema of what we're talking about now, because they're very bright, they're very cheerful now. Some of their songs on their new albums, like that one where. The female singer in the band takes the lead vocal on the last album. I think the song's like Ariel. It's a really beautiful song, but it's like, it's somber, but it's still cheerful, you know, it's still kind of hopeful. And I think the thing with all the bands that we're talking about is that they're not so hopeful, you know,
yeah,
like
in
Killing Me, Killing You, he's talking about like, it's about the end of a relationship, and he's using metaphors like a serpent wriggling between us, which is a very eerie image. And also, you know, he's talking about how do you feel there is a storm coming our way? The light that's burning between us is already starting to fade. I mean, these are all like, I always thought those were really poetic lyrics, and kind of, you know, overdramatic for the sake of comparing them to a relationship, but that's why it works, because they're not afraid of being overdramatic and I guess somewhat maudlin, you know, but not comically maudlin. Just like The Cure,
right,
is like, you know, like a Cure song, like a love song, or any of their more serious songs that they did were, you know, it's that right degree of seriousness for a band like that.
I agree on that for sure. So, what have you heard? Daylight Dies before?
I've heard of the band, and I've heard them in passing. I never actually bothered to investigate too much. I think their name kind of reminded me of like what I thought a metalcore band would be named, and that's why I kind of stayed away from them. But no, now I'm going to go investigate some more. So,
and that's what we're trying to do here: is bring new bands that might not have. Be featured as much as other bands you might have never heard of them before. So
yeah, we're going to talk about an obscure one pretty soon here.
Something I had never heard either. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. So let's talk about we talked about Sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get into the next band?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
This is Swallow the Sun.
Yeah.
Amazing band. They are the epitome of death doom done correctly.
Yeah, and especially on their last album where they and it's really like when they did those three albums for song, was it Songs from the North, right? Especially the acoustic album, it's very much touching in the exact type of thing we're talking about, but a ton of songs on that first disc also fit the bill, like Heartstring Shattering.
I love that song too.
you know, they lean more on the heavy side. I mean, you can almost group them with like Insomnium is mm-hmm. like leaning more on the death metal side. But that's the thing like I love about this vein of music that we're struggling to find a description for or like an apt genre title, because there is no genre title, because you have Typo, you have Sentenced, who abandoned death metal and became just kind of a rock band, a metallic rock band, who you could say is like a distant cousin to Him, you know, like a band like, you know, popular rock band like Him. And then you have like death metal from Soul of the Sun, but they all have that connection to each other musically.
Depressive death doom rock.
I mean, you know, the thing when I first heard Insomnium, the thing that I loved about Insomnium wasn't so much the death metal aspect of it. I mean, I enjoy that a lot, but it was more just the fact that they reminded me so much of Sentenced, and I missed Sentenced so much.
You're like, trying to fill that void, right?
I was really looking for bands to kind of fill in that void, because Sharon was kind of slowly decreasing their output, and they were soon to break up. You know, I think they broke up in 2009 or 2011, and Sentenced was gone in 2005.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's been over a decade. And you know, Poison Black, Ville, when he left Sentence, he were actually on the verge of leaving Sentence, he started Poison Black. And they kind of veered off that sound that I liked there on their initial two albums.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to kind of continue what Sentence was doing. He kind of took them down a more forgettable hard rock path that, I don't know, he was trying to sound like James Hetfield or something on those albums, so... he even looked like James Hetfield in some of the videos when he cut his hair. I don't know if he was dying it beforehand, but he like his hair color changed and he looked exactly like James Hetfield. It was disappointing.
Vile, what are you doing?
So yeah, Insomnium really filled that void for me. And then like
Omnium Gatherum,
yes, another band,
another, you know, very much same,
very hyper, like
almost the same band as Insomnium in a way.
Yeah.
They feature the same guitar player now. Very.
Yeah. They're more hyper, I think. I mean, they still have that same... they have that same mood to them, but they're more frenetic guitars. You know, Insomnium, the thing that characterizes Insomnium is those long, wailing guitar sustains, where he'll take the sustain and make it into like this emotional solo that's draped over the song and kind of... they do that all throughout their music.
So one of the things that I like to do when I'm... so we're talking about Omnium Gatherum, Insomnium right now. Go to Spotify. Go to Related Artists. Type in that band name. Go to Related Artists. And just start listening to that kind of stuff. Because you're going to find stuff that So I'm just looking at Related Artists to Omnium Gatherum. You have Mors Principum EST. Another great band.
Yeah.
Of course, you got Insomnium Bellacore. Amazing band in the same vein. And there's a band that I've never heard of before, you know, like Nail Down. I've never heard them. Sometimes they're not quite right, but they got newer bands like In Mourning.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Pain Confessor?
Yes, I've heard the name and never actually listened to them.
Barren Earth, who I love. I love Barren Earth a lot.
Barren Earth fits so well into this.
Yes, they do. They have Gardenian on here, but I don't think they quite fit. They're more of like 90s era, like In Flames type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Very catchy.
You know, people would be... I wouldn't even put like the Gathering in this vein, because
You know,
that's a tough one. Like Tiamat, they were always sort of all over the place.
I would disagree on the Gathering. I would put the Gathering in this vein.
Early Gathering, I think.
Yeah, but even, you know, like Strange Machines and things like that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs, man. It definitely... if it, Annika, one of my favorite vocalists of all time. She's definitely the best looking vocalist of all time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and not to...
and she dances like she's from the 80s.
Not to stretch this too far, but because I know that like Nightwish's Tuomas Holopainen is a huge Insomnium fan. Like he loves... He was at the time calling One for Sorrow the best album of 2011. That was the same year they released their own album.
I agree with him on that one.
And especially in those early Nightwish albums, like something like Century Child, where it was so depressing because he was going through this bad time in his life. You can hear little touches of it here and there, but Nightwish is a whole other world apart because they're so over the top, grandiose, theatrical. That's not. That's kind of an away from what we're talking about.
But still have those same elements into them. Same with Epica, I would say.
Yeah, you know, with Epica, I would always say that their overt, symphonic operaticness is taking away from what I'm. Because we can always cherry pick songs. I can say like, oh, that Therion song is kind of what we're talking about. Yeah. It's like. Yeah, but is the band, is their overall aesthetic, you know? Because it's also an aesthetic, too. It's not just, like, the sound. It's almost like the way they kind of image themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really talk about image too much on the show because we, you know, metal, it's not that important to us, especially us who've been listening to metal for so long. But I think the imagery is important. Like, when I look at the album art of Insomnium throughout their discography or Swallow the Sun, like on that last album, Songs from the North, you know, it's just kind of like sort of a delicate nature to their art.
I always found it ironic.
It's not as in your face as like Exciter or something.
Yeah. You know? I always found it ironic. We're talking about Swallow the Sun, their album Hope. Depressive as fuck, but they ironically named their album Hope.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And a little tongue in cheek there, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get on to the next band. What do we have next?
Swallow the Sun.
Yep,
we're talking about Swallow. Yeah,
we are talking about Swallow the Sun. Yeah. Look how we worked that out.
Okay, so where are we playing here?
We're gonna play "Don't Fall Asleep," which is horror part two, not horror. That's a different song. Love the song, man. It's an amazing, amazing track.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say about it?
I need to listen to it one more time, because this is Swallow the Sun that I'm unfamiliar with. I really remember, like, but when their last album came out, I was talking about how I had to go backwards from that point.
Yeah,
I never went backwards. I just kind of stopped in my
oh, you gotta listen to Hope. Hope is a great fucking album. I actually how I discovered these guys a little bit, I always heard the name, but I saw them in a sound warehouse maybe one day. And it was in the used CD section. I was like, oh, that looks, I've heard his band name before. It looks interesting. I picked it up and I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. These guys have become my new favorite band in like one album. It was like a switch just got flipped. I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands now.
It's funny, the artwork thing, that's what got me into Sentence, because I saw a copy of The Cold White Light the week it came out.
Yeah.
And I just picked it up just based on that artwork. It was so awesome.
And what's up with all the birds in these depressive metal bands? Like Swallow the Sun uses the birds, Insomnium.
And I think it's like a Finnish thing, because in the booklet to Sentence, the Funeral album, the guy who was doing all the photography was the drummer, Vesa Ranta, who is an actual professional photographer now. And he took a shot of this lake, and there are these birds kind of like somewhere in the shot of the photograph, and I was like, oh wow, that's really interesting. It's like this Finnish thing, I think.
Blackbirds,
yeah. And Insomnium loves that imagery a lot, and I don't know.
They're singing in the dead of night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe the Beatles were the first depressive metal rock band.
Maybe.
I don't know.
God, if we started to take that way back, I really do think it's a merger of like something that happened in the 80s. I can't think of anything in the 70s that would have pointed to that. Maybe like...
I mean, it's all stemming from Doom, and what's one of the very first Doom bands?
But is it stemming from Doom? That's the thing.
I think
there's a good argument for it, but I also think there's a good argument for just like, there were heavy metal headbangers who listened to quote-unquote boneheaded heavy metal. Like, you know, Iron Maiden, AC/DC, Judas Priest. And then they were also just somehow naturally drawn to this other music that was happening at the same time that was not metal. And I think this could be like one of those things where it's like, this is the product of not metal versus and metal meeting. And
so, I think a lot of it comes from Doom, especially bands like Candlemass. There was the slow, trotting, depressive guitar work.
Kind of
in
introspective
that band.
Yeah. Outlook, yeah. Yeah, because Candlemass was definitely looking inwards as opposed to...
And you can go as far back as not all, but some Black Sabbath was definitely that way too.
Yeah.
I mean, their eponymous title track, Black Sabbath, it's a slow, doomy, trotting song.
Yeah.
For most of it. And that was what, 70, 71? Don't yell at your car right now at us because we don't know the year that Black Sabbath came out, but
that would be this would be something interesting for like those guys in Bangor to do, to try to trace it back.
Yeah.
Like because I'm having trouble thinking of the period between like 80 and like 85.
Bangor TV, they did an episode of, what do they call their show?
Lockhorns.
Lockhorns, yeah. Of goth metal. And we haven't used that term. Goth metal, I don't like that term.
No, that's why we're actually doing this episode.
Because
we can call it.
A lot of we talked about Depeche Mode and The Cure. That's goth. That's, you know, Joy Division and all that stuff. Yeah. It's definitely goth. And people are like, oh, well, these bands are based on that, so let's call it goth metal. And I've always hated that.
Yeah, because the problem with goth metal is they'll apply it to anything. They'll apply it to, I think it fits more like Tristania, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, early Nightwish you could even drape it on if you were so inclined. But, like, goth metal is just, it does fit. I can see how you can fit, like, a crude umbrella. But it doesn't fit perfectly. It doesn't describe. I don't want to ever describe Swallow the Sun as goth metal.
No, I don't either.
Yeah,
Typo Negative is definitely described that way. It's like, I can yes and no.
Yeah.
If you need to pinpoint it or put a term to it, I guess. But it's not my favorite term.
And I don't like this label that I'm going to say, but I almost think it's like depressive metal, something like that would be more accurate to the, even though it's not all depressive.
People call it depressive metal. Yeah, it's depressive death doom.
Yeah. But see, when you say death doom, everyone's going to think, they're not going to think Queen Vocals right away at all.
That's true.
That's the problem, you know? Yeah. Like, how do you describe later day sentence, that kind of thing? I don't know. This is,
all right,
we're turning into Lockhorns now.
Yeah. Let's get into the song Don't Fall Asleep, because if you've been listening to us talk for a while, you might have fallen asleep. This is from Hope. The band is Swallow the Sun, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Wake up.
giving this to you. But here it is, the number of days left instead of an ocean of time. I'd never know what I need or heard what you really meant by saying that I'll never house that word can last by me.
Just been attacked by a man-eating tree. Isn't that Groot?
Sure.
That should be the name of the band. I am Groot.
Yeah, they probably can't get the trademark to that.
Probably not. I have never heard this band before tonight.
Yeah, they're obscure and they shouldn't be, but I think just the fact that they don't get out and tour that much is what is causing that. Based in Finland, but I think they have members from different countries. This is Vesa Ranta, the ex-drummer of Sentenced band that he started after Sentenced split up. He kind of, they're very much in the same vein as Sentenced. I guess he just didn't want the sound to end.
So, rock influence. According to Encyclopedia Metallium, their genre is atmospheric gothic metal.
Okay, yeah.
And their lyrical themes are feelings, emotions, and life.
Yeah.
The feels these guys put out. The feels.
Feelings, emotions, and life. That's a pretty good triumvirate for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that song
or is anti-life.
Like, that song is so hooky. I really do feel like it could have been like a mainstream rock hit in America, you know, if it was ever given the chance.
So you said it was started by, what's the guy's name?
Vesa
Ranta?
Yeah.
He used to be in a band called Anthony. That's the most metal band ever.
Anthony.
They came out. They did a demo in 1989.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't make it.
If you go on YouTube, this band, they have a few music videos. They're actually really well shot. And he is actually, the reason why they're well shot is because he is in a music video production as well.
Oh, really?
And he's done videos. In fact, he did one for the new, which we're going to be talking about pretty soon, Trees of Eternity video.
Trees of Eternity, yeah,
the lyric video.
And it looks like going to his page, he does a lot of photography and cover art and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he's very involved in that kind of stuff.
He did Sentenced, band photos, cover art, Poison Black.
Yep.
Charon.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, all right. So people think that metalheads aren't talented. They are.
Plenty of talented people.
And they all go into photography, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Must be nice.
So how did you find out about the Man-Eating Tree? I had never heard of him before.
I just followed him on, when I was going through that phase a few years ago of missing Sentenced, I found him on Facebook and just kind of like sent him a message asking if he did any prints and of certain images in the Sentenced album art books. And he said he didn't. He didn't have the originals or anything, but he added me as a friend. So I'm like friended to him on Facebook. And every now and then I'll see like messages of his like pop up in Finnish, and I'll hit the translate button and kind of sort of decipher what he's talking about. But yeah. And then I just started following whatever he did, and he put up this video one day, and I was like, wow, that band's really good. And I looked at the video, I'm like, wait a second, that's his band. And so that's, kind of put two and two together and realized, oh yeah, so I guess he was doing something. Yeah.
So let's talk about the topic right now. Cover art and imagery of the albums.
Yeah.
So the first thing, is going to pop into most people's head when they think of depressive, death, doom, rock, blah, 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 whatever we're going to call it. It's one name. That's Travis Smith.
Yeah. He's very definitive. Yeah. I mean, you think of like that iconic cover art to Blackwater Park.
Yeah.
At least that's the first thing I think of. And it's like, yeah, that imagery, that image on that album cover, that's kind of what we're talking about, the gray. That seeping gray.
All the November's Doom albums that he did.
Yeah.
Which is another band that definitely fits in this category, yeah, because I love November's Doom. And I, one of the, we'll get back to the, the artwork in a second, but one of the things I've said on the show many, many times is I'm a sucker for heavy, articulate vocals.
Right.
And Paul Kerr from November's Doom, one of my favorites, so is Swallow the Sun.
Yeah.
When he gets deep and guttural and it's, you understand every word, every lyric.
He's very enunciative.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do also in that, and to make it heavy and convincing like that. There's some other like Niue from Insomnium has that same thing going on too. Heavy but still like clear and. They're not doing like Cookie Monster vocals, basically.
Right. My God, looking at Travis Smith's career, it's pretty interesting. Somebody I've always wanted to get on the show as a guest.
Yeah.
But so looking at his album art that he's done 36 Crazy Fists, which it's pretty surprising. Seven Horns, Seven Eyes, Act of Defiant, Age of Silence, which is a great band. Amorphous, he's done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Amorphous albums. 7 Anathema albums. He did Avenged Sevenfold?
Man.
I did not know that. Barren Earth, Bloodbath, Cradle of Filth, Control Denied, Daylight Dies, there you go. Dead Soul Tribe, which if you never heard Dead Soul Tribe, they're great too.
Yeah.
Death, he did one album, Demons and Wizards. Devin Townsend.
What Death album did he do?
Sound of Perseverance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different Devin Townsend albums. Dragonland, Elevette, Flotsam and Jetsam, God Forbid, Gray Skies Fallen. Another band I wanted to mention from New York.
Gray Skies Fallen, yeah.
That we've had them on the show before.
Yeah, that's right.
Rick from that band, a friend of mine. Great fucking Death Doom band.
Yeah.
Very, very good. He's done Iced Earth, Catatonia, King Diamond. Wow, he did King Diamond. Nevermore, never heard of that band. November's Doom. He only did two November's Doom albums. for some reason, I associate him with more than that. And if you're listening to this Larry Roberts, I'm sorry. I thought he did more. Larry Roberts would be the perfect person to have on for this episode.
Yeah.
He did a crap load of Opeth, Overkill, Sanctuary, Soil Work, Solitude Eternus.
There you go.
Would you consider Solitude Eternus to fit into this subcategory?
Yeah.
They're more definitely more Doom.
Yeah, I think so.
But they're
If we're putting Swallow the Sun in there, we should put Solitude Eternus in there.
He did Strapping Young Lad, too.
Not to go with Locked Horns again.
But right. Yeah, the artwork. But Solitude Eternus, yeah, I mean, definitely one of my favorite Doom bands.
Yeah.
They're definitely, I would call them more depressive Doom.
Yeah.
Like slower. Yeah, they're on the outskirts of this, I believe.
Right, yeah.
All right, so what were we talking about before we got... We're talking about artwork again?
Yeah, but it's this imagery that these bands have. It's this imagery that comes through not only in the album art, but it's also just in like the band photography. You know, you think about like the idea of bands taking pictures in the woods, you know. And like you know, like on the back
That's where the band In the Woods got their name from.
Like on the back of Opeth's I think it was the Orchid album. They had this shot that was like the anathema of what bands were, death metal bands.
Stop saying that word. Stop using that word in the correct way.
Well, it was this shot of the band like silhouetted against a kind of pink sunset-y sky. Mm-hmm. And if you were a death metal band at that time, you weren't doing that kind of photo shoot, you know?
No.
But that was more kind of, it was like minimalist and stuff like that. And it had a different kind of aesthetic from the...
Artistically.
It was more artistic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you fast forward to Blackwater Park, they're taking a picture in the woods. And all these bands, Sentence, they have these pictures in these snow-covered areas. And they're... If you flip through the booklets of the Cold White Light or the Funeral album, you have these photographs of, like, these bleak landscapes in Finland. Or, you know, out in the middle of, like, Scandinavia somewhere, like lakes,
now,
forests.
You said Finland, you know? So we've talked about our love for Finnish metal. Oh, how many of the bands are we talking about tonight are actually from Finland?
More than
probably about 90% of them.
Like, yeah, Sentenced to Insomnium, Omnium.
Swallow the Sun.
Swallow the Sun.
Draconian.
Man-Eating Tree, Sharon, Him,
Ghost Brigade,
yeah, yeah. It was definitely more
Black Sun Aeon as well.
Black Sun, are they really?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah.
Are Swedish? That might be Swedish.
Yeah, I mean, you can take some from Sweden too. I think it would definitely fit. And Norway. It really doesn't seem to come from Norway. Just I think Norway is more steeped in its sort of its, you know, firm black metal tradition.
Yeah, but you think about Norway, it has it's a dark and depressive place to live. There's not much light there.
It is. I just think they interpreted it differently.
Yeah,
I'm talking as an ignorant American, but maybe it's something to do with just the fact that Finland does seem to have more of a pastoral landscape. You know, more like fields and farmland and kind of gentleness to this landscape. That's sort of, it's not as, you know, like abrupt and harsh as Norway's is. Did you ever watch, they put it on, it's Slow TV on Netflix. It's on there right now. It's an 8-hour train ride from Oslo to Bergen.
No, and I have not.
It's a phenomenon in Norway. And I took a, you know, I was fast forwarding through some parts because they go through a lot of tunnels, these stupid trains. But the parts where they're in nature, I mean, it is really just you're on the side of a mountain and it just goes abruptly upwards and there's a lake next to you. And that's the train ride. And it's going through these little villages speckled on the side of this mountain and or mountain range or whatever. And that's Norway. It really just looks like bleak and kind of abrupt and angular and harsh. And whenever I see like the Amorphis video for the single Sacrifice on the new album.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking through these woods, but they're very green and, you know, they're alive. And he's walking through this pasture where he like lights that coffin on fire or whatever. And in the background, they really just, parts of it remind me of like gentle, like hill country of Texas. where it's like, oh, that looks like Texas. And it's that weird thing of like you're in Finland, you're up north, but you still have these beautiful landscapes where it is green. So that dichotomy, maybe it's that dichotomy that lends itself to this kind of music.
I almost said that word.
Dichotomy.
The dichotomy.
Yeah, I like that word. I use it a lot.
We have pulled out our $5 word dictionary.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot better than, you know, a lot of other words we can use.
So we heard Man Eating Tree.
Yeah.
We heard Swallow the Sun. We mentioned briefly just a second ago Black Sun Eon. Let's talk about them.
Yeah. You introduced me to these guys.
Yeah, I don't remember how I got introduced to these guys, but
this video they have is perfect what we're talking about.
This song in particular, I think it's one of my favorite. I don't listen to it as much as I should, but when I go back and listen to it,
I enjoy their albums.
I remember how much I love these guys. Yeah.
But this is song Solitude that it especially the music video, it really, like, go look it up on YouTube because it fits exactly what we're talking about, this aesthetic, in case you haven't figured it out already. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like that.
It's basically a one-man band.
Yeah.
Tomas Cohen.
Yeah.
He does all the harsh vocals. He does all the instruments. And he just has guest people come on the album, like the clean female and the female vocals and stuff like that.
Yeah, he had a clean male vocalist on this one, right?
No, he's not. Oh. He does all the harsh stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But if you've never listened to Black Light Deliverance is the name of this album.
Great album.
Amazing album. Came out in 2011 on Stay Heavy Records. It very much went under the radar, but
yeah,
this song, Solitude, I know I've played it on the show before, but I'm going to play it again. It's an absolute amazing song. What's great about it is it fits into the genre we're talking about. It's very dark and depressive, but the guitar tone, it's very Swedish, like, you know, entombed style tuning.
Yeah,
and it fits so well with what they're doing.
Yeah, these guys get like overlooked, like criminally. Like no one really talks about them online, even.
Yeah,
you know, like major metal sites don't have reviews up of these guys. And then
I think I learned about him from Dauber from No Oceans of Slumber. We were talking maybe one day about this style of music, and he's like, "Have you heard these guys?" And nope. And yeah. Anything Dauber pretty much recommends, I'm all over that.
And
because
you know
he's
let's tip our hat to Oceans of Slumber, because when I listen to that new album, they have a bunch of different influences in that band. But I definitely hear this all throughout that album.
Oh yeah, the
you know, like Winter. I mean,
yeah, the Dauber is a huge fan of this style of music. I know that for sure, and you can hear it flowing throughout the entire album. It's a dark and depressive album.
Yeah,
but I'm not trying to.
It has moments of warmth in there, you know.
But it's the album. It's not, I don't want to say mainstream, but it's catchy enough. That people that aren't just in the metal will listen to this album and go, that's really, really good. And that's why
it has an accessible side.
Their accessibility. That's the word I was looking for. They are touring their butts off, and they're touring with bands.
They got in a good one recently. God damn it. Now I'm being put on the spot. I can't remember, but it's a good tour.
I know they're going back to Europe sometime this year. And I mean, this the caliber of band that they're touring with. And these guys.
Oh. Freaking, they're opening for, not Borknagar, Enslaved.
Enslaved, that's right. Yeah. And Neabla Viscaris.
Yeah, exactly. What a fucking bill.
Yeah, no shit. I would pay big money to see that bill.
Yeah. They need to bring that over.
They need to bring a videographer with them.
Yeah.
I think I know a guy.
Yeah.
but let's get into Black Sun Aeon. I don't know too much about the band.
Well, he ended the project, right? Remember we were talking about?
Yeah, he did.
And he's starting something new, and they haven't really released anything yet.
So the main guy, his name is Tomas Sokonen. So he started a band in 2013. So he killed all his ongoing bands and projects, including Black Sun Aeon, and announced the beginning of Wolfheart. Apparently, they did a couple of full lengths, one in 2013, one in 2015, and a single in 2015. So, yeah, if you're looking for more of his stuff, it's called Wolfheart now.
Go back to that page for Black Sun Aeon, the main page for them,
mm-hmm.
because you see that logo right there?
Yeah.
That is exactly what we're talking about when you talk about the aesthetic. It's not like angular or metallic. It's just like it's almost written in cursive.
It very, very much so. It's not angular. It's not perfect because this is my artistic part of me.
Go ahead.
The sun, the spacing between the sun and the aeon, the kerning between there needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah.
But that's probably what they were going for.
Yeah, just sort of like, it was like, just kind of scrawled, like someone took a pen and scrawled it.
And if anybody out there is into art or, you know, typography and stuff like that, and freaked out when I just said kerning, you're welcome. But let's get into, they describe the genre as doom death metal. Lyrical themes include darkness, depression, and solitude.
Yep, sounds about right.
But let's get into Black Sun Aeon. This is the track Solitude.
As a friend.
I almost feel like we need a piano intro to bring us back into this whole show right here, man.
Nah, we should have figured that out beforehand. We should have had a piano intro. Yeah. Definitive characteristic of all of these bands is that use of piano. Mm-hmm. And not using it as like a shading instrument, but using it actually as a piano key-based structural and, you know, part of the music.
A key base or a key entity.
A key entity, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like a bit silly not thinking about Paradise Lost as one of the forefathers of this whole sound. You know, we were talking about Typo Negative and Sentenced and stuff.
Yeah, so. I think Paradise Lost is definitely one because they started off as a death metal band.
Yeah.
And they quickly changed. Draconian Times, one of my favorite albums. When I first heard that on the radio,
yeah,
it was like, do you remember when Rock 101 used to have like their metal show?
Yeah, I remember.
So it was like 94, 95.
Yeah.
Fell in love with the band.
Yeah, that's a different era. When Paradise Lost will be played in Houston Hard Rock Radio.
Yeah, but this album right here, this album, 1 Second, is the definitive. We talked about Depeche Mode based, you know, metal.
Mm-hmm.
They took that, their love for that style of music, and made a metalized version of that album.
Yeah, and you're right. Paradise Lost, more than any other band, has that Depeche Mode influence.
But Paradise Lost has gone through many, many iterations in their career. Right. Now I think they had the perfect balance. They still have the heaviness, the gruffness now back in the band, mixed with that, you know, the 80s, you know, synth pop style that Depeche Mode was famous for.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do after Plague, because, like, are they going to soften it up again, going that other direction? Or are they going to keep on doing, like, the brutal stuff? Because that was a brutal album.
It was definitely a brutal album. That stint in Bloodbath really brought it back out of him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But his Queen vocals, I mean, they're very, like, he can hit that kind of Dave Gahan style.
Sometimes, here, I am not talking bad about anybody in the band. But sometimes Nick Holmes does not hit the notes the way you want him to.
Huh.
Maybe it's a conscious decision.
Right.
But sometimes it just feels like his notes don't hit. Like he can't quite get there.
But you know, it's funny because I would say the same thing about Vile from Sentenced.
No, yeah, I agree.
Where you're kind of like, I think another singer could have done that cleaner, but there's something about the fact that he's imperfect that you're okay with. You know?
Do you think they were in the studio and they go, oh, we're going to need you to do that again? And he's like, no, I think I did that perfect.
Yeah, and I think it's because like they're sort of like, hey, whatever I deliver, if I'm in the zone to do this recording, whatever comes out is going to be what comes out because I'm in tune with whatever. Because it is more emotional music, you know, Paradise Lost and Sentence and stuff like
Agreed.
This.
Agreed.
It's not supposed to be technically perfect. It's just more, you know,
you're supposed to feel it.
Yeah, you're supposed to feel it, yeah.
Paradise Lost is one of my wife's favorite bands together.
Yeah. Yeah.
We always listen to them. And we're really sad when they supposed to play here a couple years ago with Devin Townsend Project. And Nick Holmes lost his voice the day of the show. They were there, but they could not play.
Huh.
I got his autograph.
That's cool.
But I couldn't see him play.
Right, yeah.
Sad, but...
Devin played, though.
Devin played.
Yeah.
Devin was worth it. Let's take a quick moment, and we'll just derail the show for a second.
All right.
Are you going to any shows coming up?
I'm going to Blind Guardian on Monday.
Blind Guardian.
Yeah.
So by the time you hear this, you might have already seen the band.
Yeah, likely.
I am going to Devin Townsend next week.
Yeah.
Devin Townsend Project with Between the Buried and Me and Fallujah.
Yeah.
Which I've listened to some of the new Fallujah album. Very different than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was like a core album. It's not really.
Right, yeah.
It's very interesting. But I've actually paid the $100 for my VIP ticket to meet Devin Townsend.
I think that's cool.
I've interviewed him before, and I've never met him physically. And what you get out of the package, I think it's worth it. You get a ticket to the show.
Right.
You get a 27x40 wall flag. You get a special T-shirt. You get a poster to get signed by both bands. You get the meet and greet. You get the new CD, and you get an EP or something from Between the Buried and Me or something like that, but a digital download. I think that's worth it right there.
You get like pre-entry into the venue too.
Yeah, you get VIP entry, all that. I don't care about that,
right,
but
yeah.
Maybe I'll get up to the front of the stage though.
I mean, if you want to be up front, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to wait for my wife to show up though.
It's like, you're paying for all, the fee is basically covering all these goodies and you get the, you get to have a controlled environment where you can say something to Devin, you know? Yeah, I think these are...
Apparently you can bring one or two items to get autographed. I got to figure out what I'm going to bring.
Right.
Because I've got to bring something to get autographed.
Yeah.
I have it autographed before.
Right.
But what do I get now? You know what I mean?
I'm sure you can find something.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I have a few Devin Townsend things lying around.
Just a few, yeah.
I need to get the new album on vinyl. That'd be cool.
Yeah?
Take an actual vinyl. I got the like a Lucky Animals thing. Like a Record Store Day little single from the live album.
Yeah.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
But.
And tomorrow you're going to be going to a pretty big show, huh?
Sort of, yeah. It's so if you're in the Houston area, you might have heard of the Houston Open Air. It's our first big metal festival here in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's put on by a group that do a lot of these open air, you know, metal festivals. But just the bands tomorrow that I'm looking forward to seeing. Holy crap, dude. Max and Igor Cavalera are doing Roots in its entirety.
Right, yeah.
You have bands. I'm going to have to pull this up because I don't remember all the bands.
The Thrax.
The Anthrax is playing. And, of course, that's playing. The main reason I'm going.
Yeah.
You know that for sure, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this on Metal Geeks this week, too. So they have a schedule available. So just tomorrow... we have bands such as like Max and Igor Cavalera, Seven Deaths, Jim Brewer, Texas Hippie Coalition, Anthrax, Ministry, Chevy Metal, Buck Cherry, The Cult, Slayer, Alice in Chains, Alter Bridge. Of course, I sort of didn't say Alter Bridge and Buck Cherry because I plan to not see those guys.
I love the cocaine.
Yeah, that's a band. Yeah, I'm not going to. That's when I'm going to go get my dinner break.
Yeah.
But, you know, Anthrax, Ministry, The Cult, Slayer, Alice in Chains, all great fucking bands.
You got to, if The Cult's playing, you got to stick around for Fire Woman.
No, I'm sticking around for The Cult. I love The Cult.
Yeah, I love The Cult.
They're great. They're a great fucking rock band.
I had to see them in 99 at the Ariel Theater.
I don't think I've ever seen them live.
Yeah, they were good.
And then Sunday, it's a two-day show. The couple of bands that want to be interviewed, you know, the PR people contacted me. But Sunday King, have you heard King, K-Y-N-G?
I've heard
They're pretty good. I like them, but I don't know if I'm going to get there early enough to see them. The only two bands I care about on Sunday, it's Ghost and Baroness.
Yeah.
After that, you have bands like Pierce the Veil and Deftones, Avenged Sevenfold, Chevelle.
Yeah.
Not seeing those bands at all.
Yeah.
So I am walking out after Baroness, and that's it.
Yeah, Avenged Sevenfold puts on a big, glorious show.
But it's Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
Do you like them?
I don't have any problem with that band whatsoever. I'm just not a fan of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they're around, able to headline things like this and draw crowds like this. So it's good for all of us in the long run.
And then later in the month of October, after I get back from a vacation, I'm going to go see Suicidal Tendencies with Havoc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was announced, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think there was something else in October.
I guess who's playing drums with Suicidal Tendencies?
Oh, Lombardo?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be a busy fall for shows, definitely.
And if you're one of the cool things, cause I don't know when this episode will drop, as the young kids say, but Baroness, who are really cool and they do great artwork, it's one guy in the band, John Dyer Baisley. They're doing Cactus Music. If you've ever been to Cactus Music here in Houston, they do a lot of in stores and a lot of cool features like that. But they're doing a pop up art show on Sunday afternoon before they play live at the show. And I think I'm going to go to it because Ghost doesn't come on till 3:55, and this pop-up show is from like 12 to 2. So I can go to that and then go to the festival for a couple hours and then go home.
Yeah.
I think that works.
Yeah. So provided there's no crazy traffic.
That's right. But if this comes out after we talk about this, after the show.
And it already happened. You had a great time.
I had a great fucking time. But let's get back into the bands that we're playing in this episode. So we talked about Paradise Lost.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Black Sun Aeon.
Yeah.
What's next?
A newer band, you know, Ghost Brigade.
Yeah.
Who we championed on this show quite a bit with their last album.
Even before that, I was championing them.
And this album, One With The Storm, was number two on my Best Albums of the Year list that year. Was it 2014? It was 2014.
My go-to album from these guys was 2011.
Another top 10 album.
Until Fear No Longer Defines Us.
Great. A good album, but I like the new one more because they increased the heaviness factor.
I personally prefer this album more.
Yeah. Yeah, Quadmaster is a great song.
The whole album is great, yeah.
Yeah. They have that kind of mix of... their vocalist, whose name escaped me, is definitely a Finnish-sounding name.
I'm looking it up. Mane Ikonen.
Yeah.
This is another Finnish band. So.
Yeah. He has that ability to go from growls and very guttural growls, too, to a kind of almost classic depressive rock metal croon. And he is one of the more smooth crooners you'll hear in this kind of style, especially on a song like Departures. Or Clawmaster or whatever, and
I wish these guys would tour America.
Yeah, I don't even know if they tour that much in Europe, or just they might just be one of those bands they're committed to day jobs or whatever.
Yeah,
but great record, a pair of great albums. Their last two albums,
they have four full lengths in their album collection.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the first two.
Oh, they're really good.
Yeah.
If you like them at all, you go back and listen to their first two albums for real.
Yeah, his voice reminds me at times of I was gonna say Vile, but it's more of like a mix of Vile and dare I say Maynard a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
And as we talk about their John, really Maynard.
Hmm. Yeah, just a little hint.
So as their description is on Encyclopedia Metallum, melodic death doom metal, depressive rock, post-metal.
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 Yeah, we'd have to, that we don't have time to discuss what that would mean.
Yeah, we're going to move on from that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Apparently, the band has announced an indefinite hiatus on December 9th, 2015.
Well, that sucks.
I did not know that.
Well, that sucks. But hey.
So, fuck you, Ghost Brigade. Come back.
I always say they're ending on top if they're going to end. But,
only four albums? No.
Yeah.
Soul Carvers, man, that song is amazing. Off Until Fear No Longer Defines Us.
Yeah, I really like that album. And it kind of appeared out of nowhere, I remember, that year. That was actually the first year I was doing the blog, too. They ended up on my best albums to us that year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Another One Bites the Dust. See, that's the problem with bands. You know, it's like Sentenced goes away, and they went away too soon, and then, you know, Mika Tenkula passed away, and there's no going back for Sentenced, unfortunately, even though they said they would never do it.
Right.
But all these, you know, you want like a band like Ghost Brigade, who seems to be picking up the mantle. It's like, stick around, make some more records. Hopefully they'll come back.
They're on hold right now, so let's see. I guess we'll let everybody listen to them,
yeah.
And maybe they'll come back in that interim.
Yeah.
Maybe when we get back from these two songs,
they'll have reunited.
I don't see it happening, but one can only hope.
Yeah, we'll send them a Facebook message.
That's right. We're playing you on the show. You must get back together.
Yeah. Just say you reunite.
Let's get into Ghost Brigade. This is the song that you picked out from Four, One with the Storm. This is a song called Departures.
Yep.
Are bleeding. We'll be right back.
Yeah, you were just listening to Draconian with Rivers Between Us.
Now, actually, there's only a desk between us.
Yes, just a desk.
Not a river.
This was a cut off Sovereign. This was actually ended up being my favorite song on the album because I sort of overlooked it at first. Like there was Pale Torture Blue and all these other great songs on the album. But this is the one that has that male Queen vocalist, Daniel Aguide. I can't remember the band he's
Crippled
from.
Black Phoenix.
Crippled Black Phoenix, right.
Another amazing band, too, if you never listened to
them. I need to go and listen to those guys. I like his vocal style on this track, and he really fits into that mold. But in the effort of trying to make this more balanced gender-wise, here we have a female vocal-led band.
And I'm still going to go on the record. The female vocalist, her name is Heike Langes. She sounds like Bjork. She has very Bjork qualities.
I remember you describing her like that. Yeah,
which is great. It fits us really, really well.
No, yeah, and this band hits everything. They have the doom thing, but the depressive nature of their music. I hear it in that rhythm guitar.
Yeah.
That's where I hear it in Draconian. And then they made these amazing videos for this album.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did one for Pale Torture Blue, but it's a great video. And just not to focus again so much on image on the band's look or their imagery, but this band just looks the part. And she in particular looks the part. Just and I guess when you would throw that word goth around, you could look at a picture of her and go, ah, this is gothic metal. But it's just, this band's too, there's so much going on. There's too much metallic stuff at work there to just say goth is enough. It's not an apt description at all. But I love this song because it's more of like it's almost like the power ballad of the album without being a power ballad, you know?
Sure. So according to Encyclopedia Metallum, their genre is a gothic doom metal.
Right.
There's that death doom thing that I have no qualms by calling these guys death doom.
No, absolutely. They're right there.
And their lyrical themes are anti-religion, death, depression, love, and sorrow.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Sorrow.
Yeah.
Definitely there.
Love.
Yeah.
Because you can't have love without sorrow.
I mean, all those things that you mentioned were just so, it's the introspectiveness of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. Like,
it's his life.
Like, if we're going to tie everything all together, and it'll really get tied together when we talk about the last band. But it's like, you think about, like, just traditional metal. You know, it's very outward. You know, like Priest, Maiden, Metallica. Anthrax. All these bands are very, like, it's outward. It's outward energy, and it's outward thought.
Did you see Joey Belladonna sing the National Anthem
yes,
the other day?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
I was afraid that they're going to...
ESPN was covering it.
Yeah. I'm always afraid, it's going to be really bad, but it was really good.
Great rendition. He got a good reception, too.
Yeah.
Anthrax is one of those, a perfect example of, like, an outward energy band. Like, I don't know if I'm coming across as queer what I'm trying to say, but, like... All of these bands that we're talking about tonight are very introspective, very inward looking. And those other, and you know, it's the opposite of metal that's just out there.
I don't know. As far as lyrical content, I will disagree with Anthrax because they do have some stuff that is very introspective.
Yeah. No, they can. And so can Metallica too. Especially Metallica. Later on, but like, but you know what I mean? It's like the sonic energy of the stuff is
sure.
outward, you know, like Anthrax is a very much in your face kind of attack, you know,
they did Black Lodge though.
Yeah.
Can't say it's introspective cause it was based on a TV show, but
right. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Anthrax is one of those bands that, especially during the Bush years, like,
I was about to say the Bush years.
Their sound could...
And I think a lot of it had to do with his lyrical writing, too.
Yeah, exactly. But if we go back to, like, you know, comparing it to, like, say Iron Maiden is, like, a classic example. Later on, Maiden changed. But early Iron Maiden, it's an outward projection of energy. It's an outward expression of euphoria or enthusiasm or something. And... sentenced and typo to a certain extent, and Swallow the Sun and Sentenced again, Draconian, Ghost Brigade. All these bands are just like, it's not so much about, it's making music to try to pump a crowd up, you know, that kind of thing.
Their music is cathartic to them.
It's cathartic. It's not like about rallying a crowd together, that kind of thing, you know?
Here, let me give you the word of day dictionary next.
What is this?
No, we just use cathartic. Let's see what's next in the dictionary.
Okay. You know, Amorphis kind of emphasizes that too. Like,
yeah,
like their music can be very sing-songy sometimes, especially lately. But again, it's like, it seems like they're trying to get something across there. Like,
and they're coming. They're coming here in what, April?
Oh, I know.
Headline show.
I know.
With Swallow the Sun.
Yeah, that's.
It's like somebody said, "Hey, Carrie, what two bands do you want to see together?" I was like, you know, I want to see Swallow the Sun open up for Amorphis.
Yeah.
And they're like, here you go.
Yeah. I'm considering that a birthday present to me in April.
That's like my anniversary present.
Nice.
It's my birthday present. Even my birthday is in a few weeks. So
yeah.
That's it. I want to go.
Yeah.
And they're coming. Swallow the Sun is going to be here in December, opening up for Dark Tranquility.
Yeah. Yeah, and then weirdly, Omnium's going to be playing with Sonata Arctica.
Right.
It's strange. They should be on the other bill.
I know, they should twist that around a little bit, but whatever.
All right. And it's not dying out, you know. I don't know, kind of fell more into that sound. Not to criticize the other vocalist, but I
lyrics for Rivers Between Us, right?
Mm-hmm.
The chorus is, "I am alone, I am scorn. I can't remember to forget you. I just weather the storm." This lyric is weird. "Let me take the noose from our necks and carry us home."
That's his lyric. That's the male singer.
Yeah. "Still so alive even after you die, transcending with time. We're just two cripples who fail to belong. Yes, we are two cripples, but we need to hold on."
Yeah, that is a great part in that song.
So we just mentioned Amorphis, and this is something we talked about mentioning, but we forgot to. It's the female vocalist they used on the new Amorphis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As well as on the new Swallow the Sun.
Right.
Who unfortunately passed away from cancer this year.
Yeah.
Sad. She was a great vocalist. She did all the photography, all the art design on the new Swallow the Sun as well.
Yeah, which is a gorgeous...
Amazing. If you haven't got the Digipak three-disc version, you owe it to yourself to pick that up.
Yeah.
But she had a band with a guitar player from Swallow the Sun.
Yeah, who was actually like her boyfriend.
Called Trees of Eternity.
Yeah.
And if you go look them up on the social media, like Facebook and all that stuff, they did post a preview from an album, upcoming album, and it fits right in the wheelhouse of what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I think they even have a whole lyric video out for.
Yeah, they did
that song.
It's sad that she's
a great
gone.
Song. In fact, she was on a couple major tracks on that Swallow the Sun album. I think she was on Heartstring Shattering, which is like my favorite song.
You're right
on the record. So, I don't know. Unfortunate. Another talented person going away too soon. It's been a bad year for that.
It really has. I'm looking forward to that Trees of Eternity album. What's her name? Elena Stanhope, right?
Aaliyah Stanbridge.
Stanbridge. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, we're getting close to the end of this episode. We have one more band that we wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be a fitting tribute to the style of music without playing this band. But let's do some housekeeping real quick.
Yeah.
Of course, you can find this show, MSRcast, at metalgeeks.net. You can also find it at MSRcast.com. We'll take you both to the same location. You can find us on the YouTube. Not the YouTube, the iTunes is what I was wanting to say. subscribe to us there and give us a review. You can find MSRcast on all your social medias. Find us on Facebook and then as well as Twitter and Instagram. Not as much as Instagram, but more on the other ones. You can also find our great co-host here on social media as well.
Yeah, at The Metal Pigeon on all the platforms.
All the platforms.
Well, you know, the big three. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram to some extent. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the last band we wanted to play this evening?
So, and you and I both love this band. And
yes, definitely.
Have definitely strong feelings about just the way everything ended with Woods of Ypres. But yeah, Woods of Ypres.
And we did a tribute album to them, or episode to them, right after he passed away, too.
And by the way, ex-Woods of Ypres guitarist Joel Violet.
Yeah.
Thrawson Blatt. That is an album that's been released this year.
Also features Ray Amate from, that was the touring drummer for Woods of Ypres when they were, before they quit.
I think we're going to end up talking about this album in another episode later on, but I just want to say everyone go freaking listen to that album because it's going to be in the top 10 this year. It's that good. Anyway, going back to Woods of Ypres, everyone probably knows the story about David Gold and the album and everything. But that song Finality on that album, like every time I'm listening to that song, like it's always usually at night and I'm by myself. That song wrecks me.
I think,
like, don't talk to me or look at me when that song's playing.
I know it's really, yeah, it's an emotional song. And I think what I want to do to end this episode, I want to play two different versions of this song.
Okay.
I want to play the Woods of Ypres version, and I want to play Kurzarth's version from the tribute album that came out a couple years ago. If you don't know who that is, it's Paul Kerr from November's Doom, as well as actually a friend of mine, Will Bozars. They got together and they did an acoustic version of this track, and it, and the emotion is just dripping in this song.
And you know, Woods is like a they're a pretty young band for what, you know, when they came out. They're a relatively new band. And I went digging when I was doing the a while ago. I was trying to do the sentence thing a long time ago. And I found this quote from David Gold sometime in like 2010, or maybe it was like actually 2011 when he wrote it. But he put up a thread on the Woods of Ypres forum on ultimatemetal.com talking about the music video that changed his life. And he picked Sentenced, Killing Me, Killing You, which is what we started, one of the songs we played earlier in the episode. And he wrote a long thing about why he loved it so much. But this is one thing I want to quote from him, where he said, being a northern kid, and he's from Ontario, Canada, I could identify with parts of the video, such as the Finnish landscape, the woods, the frozen beach in the winter, and that cold blue of not only the sky, but often seemingly of the air itself. And Sentenced were metal, but this band was more than what I had become familiar with, and it was everything new about them that to me that blew my mind. They were tall, long-haired Finns wearing all black, playing metal with piano and powerful, convincing Queen singing. It was dark, classy, professional, a cleaner and more serious image of metal than one I had known, seemingly focused on the atmosphere, the feeling, the meaning, the message as the song, of the song itself, rather than flashes of speed or displays of heaviness. And I thought that was like, you know, when I think about like what Woods sound really kind of turned into, especially by like Woods 4 and you know, Woods 5.
Yeah.
I hear Sentenced all over that, the DNA of that time. Band. And it was so cool to find this quote, like kind of preserved in amber of like, wow, that's him just basically saying like that's the band that changed his entire musical outlook, and it had such an impact on him, and we got these great albums as a result of, you know, freaking Killing Me, Killing You, you know.
And if you we mentioned we're going to play the Kurzarth version of Finality. If you want to buy this album, you can actually go to davidgoldtribute.bandcamp.com and pay $10 to download it automatically. You can get an MP3, FLAC, whatever you want. But it's a bunch of bands and friends of David Gold that got together and covered Woods of Ypres songs. I mean, you have, like we said, we have Earthens on here doing Lightning and Snow. November's Doom does Wet Leather, which is a great version of that song.
That is the definitive version of that song, actually, in my opinion.
Ray and Joel from the aforementioned
Thrawson Blatt.
Yep. Are doing Silver, and who else is on here? Justin Bender from Into Eternity does a song. If you're a fan of Woods of Ypres and David Gold, it's a great tribute album.
Yeah.
Only $10 to go purchase. After he passed away, I was actually in talk with his mom, and I was like, I ordered all the albums I did not have in my collection, and she sent me a free EP from the Home EP, the vinyl.
Oh yeah,
autographed by David.
Yeah, I just have the digital version of
it. It was one of the last things that he had autographed and that was sitting in their collection, and she sent it to me, and that means a lot to me.
Yeah. You know, his channel's still up on YouTube, and it has all their like tour blogs they did when they were like driving that shitty van.
Yeah.
And I went back and watched a lot of them recently. Awful sound quality and everything, and it was cool. I mean, he was a cool guy. And
what's sad is that they were supposed to tour Houston. Do you remember this?
No.
They had scheduled a date in Houston. They I don't remember, the tour manager or the club decided there was not enough people on Facebook that RSVP'd, so they canceled the show the day of.
That sucks. Were they in town too?
They were in town. They wound up, I think, if I remember correctly, they wound up playing in just somebody's backyard.
Wow.
Because they're like, fuck it, we're here, we're just going to play. But I was looking forward to that show tremendously.
Yeah. You didn't find out about the backyard gig until after? Ah, that sucks.
My only chance to ever see them live.
Yeah.
But let's end the show on a, can't say on a high note, sad note.
But listen, this is one of the most beautiful songs you'll ever hear. In from a metal band's period, so
yeah, so we're gonna actually hear two different versions of it.
Yeah,
Of course the official Wood the V-Pray version, and then we're gonna hear Kurzar's with friends of this show.
Yeah,
Paul Kerr and William Bozarts.
All right,
so let's get into it. And, we will see you guys on the next episode.
See you.
Wait.
Keep it metal.
Thank you. I sure will.
Firmly in. night forever. I wait.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.